Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. It's Wednesday morning. By the time this episode comes out, we'll be about 48 hours from the FPL deadline. How are you feeling?
No, horrible. Feeling horrible.
That is freaking close. We're close. Proper close.
Yeah, no, I feel very, very bad.
I feel giddy and nervous, like, very simultaneously.
Yeah, I don't have any giddiness. I just like dread and terror. I just know that I'm not going to go with the template dare team, and I'm going to have all these fucks, and I'm going to get like 40 point game week one, 2.5 mil OR, and it's going to all start.
You mean you don't have Fraser, Callum, and King in your current draft?
I have no Bournemouth players, and I haven't for some time. So whoops. When Bournemouth put up 4 against fucking the Blades, I'm going to be finding some blades to insert into my body.
Yeah, I understand. I feel the same way. Every tinker, I have to sort of check myself in the mirror with, like, for me at least, it comes down to, like, do I want to try hard and get the highest rank I can, or do I want to just, you know, live like I always have and just have fun and get guys I like? That's our problem. Can't have both.
No, there's
almost no overlap. Like, Perez is like the only overlap.
Yeah.
All right, so this is our last pod before, you know, the whole shebang and lineup lambs, I guess, tomorrow night. But before we move on and just dive into mostly questions and our teams and stuff, just wanted to say the prize league is now open for Patreon subscribers. If you are a subscriber, you should see a post on our page, patreon.com/FMLFPL. And people who are subscribed at the Slack level, I put it in the content channel, the topic in the main channel festival. I added everyone. You should fucking see it by now. Fill out a little thing, get the code. Good job by you.
Yeah, and for new listeners, the prizes are like cheeky little mug. You could see some pics of past winners on our website, FMLFPL.com. So you get in there.
Yeah, and it's the winner of every month. So even if you're having a fucking shit ass season, anyone can have like a flyer month. And we did it, you know, for that reason. So the same people don't just win it every month. But yeah, it's gonna be a mug, and then we're throwing in some other shit this season. So, you know, that's fun. More prizes are good. And yeah, that's basically it. So what do you want to do? We have actually a million questions. We could talk about our current tinkers. We could talk about anything you want to talk about. What do you want to do here?
Oh, God.
Should we just do questions?
Are we running? I feel so nervous right now.
Did you say, are we running long?
Yeah.
10 minutes in. 3 minutes in, really.
I feel just like embarrassed that I don't have the template. Like, I'm looking around at all these other like great FPL managers, like, oh, like slow and steady. You can't win week one FPL, but you can lose it. Like,
yeah.
Raz, Mo, like defense, blah, blah. And I'm just like, fuck that. Like, I'm just so far away from that now. And now it's the point where I'm just like losing it because I'm looking at my team. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I don't have anyone else has.
I know, oh, dude. One of my favorite concepts that we ever talked about on the pod was the idea of like a side hoe, a Gumar team, just to like get out that like fuck that feeling, that to get away from the template and just get all the guys we like and just have like a fun team that we fuck on the side and then just go like, yeah, more template, more slow, patient, etc. in the main. But I don't know.
I mean, I've had Jonjo in my team for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, oh yeah, 0.5 is definitely worth it for Jonjo over Dindonk. Like, it's so dumb, but I'm just like, I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, great pick.
There's got to be like a psychological disorder where that there's got to be a name for like the ability to talk yourself into and out of everything, because I'm the exact same way. Like I could sell fucking like Callum Robinson to anyone right now. Like, he's the best player in the game, obviously, auto include, but talk myself out of like Sterling. He's just like 230 points a year. You know what I mean? Like no, it's bad value. And then I'm just like, Allaire, Callum Robinson, like Montoya, like easy game.
Yeah. All right, so why don't we at least start with the absolute soup that we both are definitely going to be starting with?
Callum Robinson.
Who you just mentioned. So we got, give me the history, because this was a very quick-moving stock.
The timeline of Cali Rob joining our squads, and pretty much everyone's squad in Slack by now, I feel like.
Well, we're just bullying people at this point.
Yeah, we like shitted on Sheffield United on the pod, and got like a long, extremely long write up on Reddit from a hardcore fan of like why we're wrong about a lot of the things. It was a good read, and I did more research, and I was like, yeah, like you're right. There are guys on this team, blah, blah, blah. You know, fast forward some hours later, Davey Boy's on Slack talking about how Callum County's Robinson is just the first name in his team sheet, and like his friend's a Sheffield United fan, he's going insane about how good Callum is, like blah blah blah. Do more research, like check it out. We got people wrote in, like Jamax Robinson in, J Flow, who the fuck is Callum Robinson? Why does everyone love him all of a sudden? It just starts spiraling out of control with like the compilation of goals last season. His goals this preseason were like very classy, and he scored a fucking lot of them. He's been on fire.
Wait, his Pornhub compilation was good?
Yeah, his Pornhub compilation was insane, which also is one of the... Every single player in the history of the universe has a good compilation, but that's besides the point.
someone put on Slack, like, Montoya. It's like, Montoya. It's like... It was like skills and like crosses or something. Oh, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I mean, Martin Montoya, Barcelona, former Barca, you know, he's got skills.
It just shows him like taking on someone running down the byline, like at the halfway line, like cut to a new clip.
It's yeah, like, what are like watching? Scouts like, oh, yeah, like he can do that.
All right, but keep going.
I mean, there's not that much after that. It just started spiraling out of control, like... I will say, I'll end it with, there is a little bit of pumping on the brakes, but basically until, you know, recently, he's just been like so nailed as a second striker. He's a 5-5 mid, out of position striker, scoring at will, good record. He was injured for a bunch of last season, but still had like a good goal scoring record. And yeah, I mean, that's mostly it for me. But then they bought McBurney, and that's a little bit sketchy.
Yeah, McLaddy. I mean, that was the thing, you know, reading that guy's Reddit post, and then I also did a little bit more digging through the interwebs, and, you know, he's got good stats, and a good point made was that he was a big buy for them. I didn't realize that. I thought he was just, like, some anonymous... I mean, the name is, like, you're an anonymous human. Like, right. I don't even know what you're doing. But he was a big buy for them, and he's reportedly, you know, has good skills. But, you know, the 5-5 spot out of position is just... You know, there's not a lot of downside there. And I mean, I think we've both spent a lot of hours over the last month looking at like the 6-5 and under midfield bracket. And other than Iosi, there's just not anything really to me that like clicks or stands out. So when you're looking at a pun of this nature, I mean, obviously this is flying directly in the face of our advice of don't go for like promoted players.
Promoted puns.
Especially not punts. Yeah, it's just the most opposite of what we say, so obviously we're gonna do that. That's a no-brainer. That's a stone cold lock. But you know, it's just it is the place that you want to and can't afford to punt. You know, he unfortunately, though, the main issue with him to me is just the fixtures are not good. I've seen a lot of like hype of Wilder that he's just a genius and he's like a really good manager.
That's so what a lot of people
I'm
say
excited
about
him. Yeah, I'm excited about that aspect, even though, you know, the Sheffield United squad on paper doesn't look like any great shakes. You know, not a lot of familiar names there, but, you know, they were a good unit last season. And, you know, teams like that, that, you know, kind of make some tweaks around the edges, but largely are going to be intact, you know, seem like they could do okay. And, you know, at Bournemouth, home Palace, those are reasonable fixtures for goals, I think. So, I think that, I mean, in all seriousness, I think at the 5-5 mil mid spot there, I think it's a pretty good gamble. You know, the one other issue that you'll be looking at, you know, we don't know when we're going to wild card, but game week 4 at Chelsea's, you know, we don't know if that's a good or a bad fixture. And then home Southampton game week 5, but then the fixtures get pretty bad. They have at Everton, home Liverpool, at Watford, home Arsenal, like game week 6-9.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to reassess at that point.
Yeah, that's when we move on, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have years where 5-5 mids don't emerge the whole season. I mean, we had Fraze last year. Year before, I don't think there was anyone, and then there was Mahrez and a Rambo, maybe. So, you know, we don't know if there's going to be a guy in this spot that you could, like, side swap, but...
It seems like there is to me. Like, a 5-5 or a 6 is really going to emerge. Like, whether it's, like...
A 6?
Robinson, yes. Trossard, McGinn. Yeah. Like, there are actually a lot of names there.
Yeah, there are. There are some names there. So, yeah, I mean, that's it was unfortunate someone on... I mean, I don't, like, look at the FPL fucking app, like, bullshit little... I mean, you can't call them articles. They're like Twitter blurbs about players, but apparently that he was on it like a couple of days ago or yesterday something. Someone on Slack was saying that, so that's unfortunate because the sheep will be sheep with the sheep.
I'm sure no one's going to get him, though. Let's be fucking honest. But I'm glad you brought up Wilder, though, because I think it was the Stats Mom preview I read on Sheffield United. I don't know. My head is like I'm spread way too thin. There's too much content in the world, but I think it was StatsBomb, and they mentioned Wilder and his history of just really positive, really good attacking record, you know, and at basically every place he's managed. And then he came to Sheffield, and you know, their numbers look conservative because they conceded so few goals and they scored a lot less than say Norwich, but. Really, they were like clever, good attacking. I think they had the highest XG per shot in the championship. So even though they didn't score that many goals, they got really good chances. Like their average chance was better than every other team. And then they had the lowest XG per shot conceded, which is, you know, that's just a nice little symmetry right there.
You know.
Yeah. That's Callum.
All right. That was a good one.
All right. You feel a little better?
Yeah, I'm getting calmer. I'm calming down.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, do you want to start with questions?
Why don't we just run through our teams, guys? What we're looking at right now? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it sounds good. So, what are you on for keeper?
I put Pope back in.
Yeah, Pope is an obvious, really good pick.
Hart, I just can't imagine Hart playing that position. I just can't see that happening. So
I think he's just too bad.
I mean, everyone knows that, and I think it'll work itself out. I mean, you know, I think the minutes in preseason, you know, we know that Pope was injured, but it's a little bit misleading when you look at like the amount that Hart got, because I think Burnley had a lot of preseason games and they did like split squad shit. So like him and Heaton were playing, like they had a lot of games.
Yeah.
So I mean, Pope is fit, obviously, he played 90, so, and he's a goalkeeper, so he just has to be able to walk. I mean, and they don't fucking move. So he seems like he's going to be okay there for game week 1 and moving forward.
On the most basic possible, like, statistical level, if you just open up Hart's page and open up Pope's page, Hart's last two seasons, 1,700 minutes, weirdly played the exact same number of minutes, which I don't understand, but 1,700 minutes, 41 goals conceded last year, 39 goals conceded the year before in 1,700 minutes. Pope's one full season is 3,100 minutes, and he conceded 35 goals. So,
yeah, I mean,
almost double the time, and he concedes less goals. It's just
are you on Pope like pretty steadily?
I have changed to Ederson. There are many reasons to not like it. I mean, like, the main reason being if Pope does what we expect Pope to do, then Ederson and Alisson aren't going to outscore him by that much, which is, like, you know, goes back to the value thing. Also, teams probably a little bit less flexible when you go with a premium keeper just because there's less money in all the other positions, and you never really use transfers on keepers unless they're hurt. So those are bad and reasons I don't like it. But when it came down to it, I just kept tinkering, like, Laporte, Stones, Zinchenko, like, all these guys, and I just couldn't. I was just getting such a headache, like, trying to figure out the right combination of guys that I was happy with, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. In the end, I was just like, well, Ederson and Alisson obviously outscored every defender in the game except for other Liverpool and City defenders. He's just the only actual 100% nailed and fit player at City, you know, in the back line. And I don't know. I just, they're going to keep another 20 clean sheets. Like, they are that good. So I don't know. I just see it as like the one, maybe one of the only spots where I'm just like, this is just my like set and forget. Like, I don't have to deal with Stones and Zinchenko and Laporte not being fit. I can just like, you know, get 160, 170 points from this one spot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's as good of an argument for Ederson as you'll hear. I don't have any issue with any of that. So if you like the rest of the team with the 6 mil, you know, spending 10 mil at the back, then
right.
So I think that's a good job. But yeah.
All right. Thanks, bro.
All right.
What's your back line? What's your formation right now?
I'm still in like a 4-4-2, like kind of weird hybrid-y type team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing in my defense that I haven't touched is having the two Liverpool guys. So it's Rabo and Van Dijk. I'm still playing around Van Dijk or Trent. I don't know where I'm going to. I mean,
it's really hard.
It's really hard. Part of me wants to go for the explosivity of the fullback before Champions League starts, and Trent might be perceived as more of a rotation risk. But the other part is like Van Dijk's just a lock and safe, and he still attacks himself. So I need to figure that out. But otherwise, I've been all over the fucking shop with my other three spots.
Well, just on Trent for a second, someone brought it up in Slack. Is just I'm on Trent right now, so don't. I'm not trying to like argue against him, but already game week 2, you could see a rotation like that No, because they're going to play in the fucking Super Cup in Istanbul on like
when. What the fuck is the Super Cup?
It's the winner of the Champions League versus the winner of the Europa League. So in the middle of game week 1 and game week 2. Not kidding. Middle of game week 1. Is that a thing that
happens every year?
Yeah, it happens every year. They're flying to Istanbul to play Chelsea, which I don't know if Klopp is going to just fuck it off. I wish he would, but he probably.
Hang on. Hold on. Okay. So is this like a serious game that the teams take seriously and play like first team players?
I mean, it's like the Community Shield. Like it's like quote unquote a trophy, but it's a joke and like no one really cares about it. But I think they'll probably play their strongest lineup.
This is between August 9th, game week 1, and August 17th, game week 2. That's when this game's being played?
Yeah, they're flying
fucking Turkey
to Istanbul, playing there on Wednesday, August 14th. And then flying back, and they have fucking away Southampton on Saturday. So if there's a game where, like, if they're playing the strongest lineup in Turkey, then Trent is a part of it. And then if you're going to, like, rest, you know, rotate anyone, it's probably going to be the fullbacks and probably going to be Trent. And that's like 3-ish days later, you know, with the flight from fucking Turkey.
I can't wrap my head around this. That Trent's like a risk game week 2 already. I don't know. Yep. I don't know what's happening right now.
Yep. That's what's happening. So yeah. But anyway, you know, go back to what you were saying about the rest of your defense.
I'm on that sweet tea right now. I'm just tilted out of my mind.
I just fucked your whole day up.
How is that a thing that's been happening? First of all, every year that I've never heard of. Like, do I just have like dissociate? Like, I black it out.
I think you just blinders. And honestly, usually I don't have like I don't remember. This is just from my head, but I feel like usually it happens before the season starts, and England is just starting ahead of like the other big five leagues in Europe for no fucking reason at all. Like Klopp was complaining about that with Mane, and he was like, I talked to Ancelotti and like Koulibaly has 4 weeks off and Mane has to like come back already. But I think usually it happens before the season starts, and this England is just fucking dumb and they just are doing this.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's I need to let's focus. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that information. I can't process it fully right now, but I have Montoya in. I don't think Brighton defense is good, but I do think that a 4-5 out of position wing back is good. You know, he's not a promoted side, and they've got a few good home fixtures in the opening. You know, he's not a player I really want to start away. And you know, they're usually good at the Amex, and I don't expect many cleans, but I think that there's attacking potential there. I mean, he's pretty good player, you know, he's a good pedigree and he's reasonably good crosser from the compilation video I saw. So he's got a spot at 4-5.
Yeah, I mean, he got 4 assists the year before Brighton got him with Valencia, and the year before that he had 2 goals and 1 assist. Like he comes from Barcelona in La Liga, like he can do stuff.
He hit the bar last game for them. Just saying, guys. And then I have the soupiest, puntiest shit of life.
Oh,
I have AMN, the Maitland-Niles,
yes.
And I have a couple, you know, double-barreled guys, and I have KWP, Kyle Walker-Peters in at my other 2 spots.
Are you rotating those 3?
I'm
because you said
wild.
4-4-2.
I mean, it's just pure wild, man, because I have John Joe in at 5th spot, so I would be basically rotating 2 spots for those 4. I mean, obviously, I've also played around with Jack at that spot. It would be ridiculous not to consider that. So I was looking at something like that.
Oh, my God. You're really off the rails.
What did I told you,
dude? I'm going to call your wife after this and just check.
I fucking told you before we started
Holy
what I'm up
shit.
To right now.
This is just
That's
putting
where I
together
am.
A team of paper mache right now.
That's where I'm
We're
at.
In like 3rd grade art class.
Oh my God. So, I mean, basically, I don't know if I'm just like, this is unconscious sabotage of like early wild card, and this is what I have to do to get there. Cause I've been talking, you know, I talked about last season. So that's working, then that's playing in there somewhere, but. Yeah, I mean, basically, they don't rotate, like, super great, but... okay,
Holy
hear me
shit.
Out. I have an actual real... I mean, I...
Yeah, I want to hear the real shit. I mean, okay. I like all of the shit, but I want to hear the real shit.
So, I took a little bit of a step back from this premium defense discussion, like, and I was trying to analyze really what's happening here,
okay.
Right? So... defenders have been scoring a lot of points last season, right? And we have a lot of like attacking fullbacky, wingbacky type guys who are semi out of position. And we're seeing a lot of teams with like 4 premiums at the back. And realistically, what you're looking at are 2 Liverpool, Dean, and then either a 5-5 guy like a Zinchenko type, or you know, fucking what is it, Coleman, or something like that. So you know, we're looking at that. So that's fine, okay, but. Laporte at 6-5 is a bit tenuous to me because he had 6 attacking returns, and I mean, he got most of those attacking returns from like game week 25 on.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he's going to hit that mark again. And at 6-5, you know, for the center back, I, like you mentioned with Ederson, like, okay, that's fine. But the difference is with Laporte, there are 3 5-5 defenders on City. And one of them is going to play. I mean, one of them is going to emerge as value. So, and then we have the same thing with Dean. Like, okay, Dean's going to be a little bit different category because his attacking stats are very good. And, you know, they're getting an actual striker in, and this is nice. And he's on some set pieces. This is nice as well. But it must be said, I think that we're getting a little carried away. This is actually, he plays for Everton. He plays for Everton Football Club. He does not play for a top 4 team. He plays for Everton. And he's a 6 million defender. So I don't like that. I just don't think that that's good. There's something that is charging against that for me when I'm looking away from the template, like, oh, 55 chances created last year, 70 or whatever, and like he had a couple of worldy free kick goals. Like, he's a 6 million defender on Everton. I'm looking at, you know, like Coleman for 0.5 cheaper, like, okay, like maybe, but... like when I'm looking at like Spurs, right? Like Spurs defenders are 5-5, and this is the unanimously like 3rd place team. Like there's value. They don't have a lot of attacking intent, but like that's value to me. It's like
Value in defense is getting premium team clean sheets for as cheap as possible. It's not necessarily jamming in the 6 million plus because they're playing fullback. The Liverpool defenders don't need an argument. I mean, all three of them are fantastic. I mean, you shouldn't not have at least, you know, probably two with Mo or whatever. Yeah. But when I look around elsewhere, I just don't see things that look great. So, like, when I'm looking at, like, Kyle Walker-Peters, I mean, there's obvious risk there. He's 5 million, so there's going to be risk for a reason. But, you know, there is a world where he just makes that spot his own and he takes a step forward. It's not likely, but at the very worst case, you know, I'm going to be buying in for two, you know, should be cleans with home Villa, home Newcastle in the first three. And then, you know, I'll be able to reassess or whatever. So, like, I'm looking at Zinchenko still too, just because, you know, they don't really have a lot of players to play that position. And, you know, getting value in the cheapest guy on the city is like, I don't want Laporte. I want the 5-5 guy. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be Zinchenko or Stones, but it's going to be one of them. I mean, someone's got to play second center back position and someone has to play left back and Mendy's dead. So, like, that's kind of what I've been thinking about. And, you know, Maitland-Niles, like, the fixtures are pretty mixed. Like, okay, first two, he plays for Arsenal. Obviously, they're been a sieve, but, you know, he's attacking and he's five. I mean, I could go down to someone like Gazza Cahill. Like, he rotates better with Montoya, but, you know, that's where I'm going there. So I'm not that sure where I'm going to land. I mean, it's very off base, but I don't know. What do you think about all this fucking spouting nonsense that I'm going in here?
I mean,
with?
I think a lot of it makes sense. I think people are, I mean, I'm really heavy at the back right now, and I think it is very, like, template and, like, mindless to just go that route. I do, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean with Everton, but the fixtures are what they are, and, you know, although over the course of the season, you know, they're not going to keep as many clean sheets as, like, you know, the top two, maybe the top three. I mean, they still kept a lot last season, and with their run, they only faced City and Spurs in the first fucking 14 game weeks of the top six. Like, no matter if they get 10 cleans or 13 cleans this season, like, a lot of them are going to probably come in the first 14 game weeks right here.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, so, like, in a, it's, we had this talk on the opposite ends of the spectrum when I was worried about Gay, and you kind of said the same thing back to me. And it's like, I have this problem a lot, especially in, like, tinker season, where I have to try and separate sort of the, like, long-term set and forgets and the medium-term guys and the short-term guys in my head, and I have a hard time doing it because when I build my team, I'm always kind of thinking long-term. I'm always thinking, like, well, this guy's going to score 200 points, so, like, I obviously want him in my team, but that's not really the best way to build the team because, you know, we're all going to use our wild card by, like, game week 6, 7, 8, latest probably most seasons, and we're all going to be using our free transfers and changing lots of spots all throughout the season. There's very few people and teams where you actually have, like, set and forgets from, like, game week 1 to game week 38 unless you're Derek. And it's like, so I'm trying to think less long term with a lot of my picks, and, you know, so I actually have Dean and Coleman in my current draft, like, for that reason, because I'm thinking more, okay, like, in whatever the game week 1, 2, whenever I wildcard window is, their fixtures are good enough that I think they might clean at, like, a premium team rate, and they're super attacking. Is, like, that would be, like, why I would have them. But I do know what you mean. I mean, someone probably will emerge from, like, Arsenal, Spurs, even Chelsea, like, 5 million guy or something that's nailed. And I think we'll all eventually go there probably on wild card or, you know, with transfers or whatever. But to start the season, they all carry so much, like, rotation risk. And like you said with Maitland-Niles, I mean, he is the only right back. But, like, his fixtures game week 3 and 4 are just so bad that you don't even, like,
I mean, Chambers could play right back, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's slow and, like, awkward, and Emery traditionally likes, like, bombing,
yeah,
on fullbacks.
No, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
no, I,
like,
mean, yeah, what you're saying makes sense about the fixtures. I mean, we have talked about that, and that, you know, that the fixtures are good for Everton, so the cleans could come early, and, you know, he could be good, and then you,
right,
don't, and you downgrade to any of the value that emerges. That makes sense, yeah.
Right.
So,
like,
I mean, I could see
a world where it's, like, game week 8 or something wild card, and you go, like, Dean to Maitland-Niles, Dean to KWP, Dean to whoever's playing on Chelsea. You know, like, I that that's a very realistic thing, I think. But to start,
all right, all right. I'll put Dean back in a little.
Yeah, Dean is. Much. I mean, I guess I could talk about Dean and Coleman. Like Dean. Yeah,
so, what do you? Who do you have? I have both. Liverpool.
I have right now. I kind of changed it up while we were talking, but I have Robbo, VVD, Dean, and Coleman in a 4-4-2.
Okay,
so super heavy, like set and forget types of guys. Yeah, I don't know. I was looking more at Dean, and I mean, you're right. Like, those goals that he scored were kind of like freak worldy goals that probably won't happen again. I mean, he way overperformed his XG. Like, he scored 4 goals. His XG is 1.2, you know? So he was shooting from very poor positions and scoring like freak insane worldies. But at the same time, he way underperformed his XA. He only had four like real assists, and his XA is 7.7. And
yeah, that's way better than like even the Liverpool guys, right?
It's about the same. Weren't they under 6?
It's about the same. Okay.
Yeah, at least the numbers I'm looking at are understated. Right, yeah, Robbo was 8.06, but played like 200 more minutes or something like that.
Okay. So a little worse, but okay. Keep going.
Yeah, but basically, I mean, Dean is just insane, and like he like just to compare to, you know, Siggy, who is popular, I think, in the community. Like, Dean has more key passes per 90, better XA per 90 than Siggy, you know, who's their quote-unquote number 10. I just think you pair the fact that he's taking some set pieces, pair the fact that he creates a ton of chances, he should be getting more assists. I like the fact that Moise Keane is there, not Calvert-Lewin. He's just way more explosive, better striker, and should be a better finisher. And pair that with the fixtures where, like I just said, I think they'll be cleaning like at roughly a premium rate, whatever that means. Then, like, I just think he's just incredible.
All right. See, this is what we do. This is what we do on the pod.
And I
Coleman, go insane, and then you pull me back to life, and then I put Dean back in my team. So that's a good job.
And Coleman is similar. I mean, obviously, they're on the same team, so the clean point is the same. I mean, you brought it up, I think it was like the first pot of preseason, but the way that Everton ended the season, like Seamus was doing more of the like creating the really big chances, even if they weren't being finished, which again, I think Moise Keane will help with. You know, he ended the season really strong, creating chances, etc. He also has a goal in him when Dean really like doesn't. And I just did a little research before potting, but and this is obvious, but it's also just good to look at. But his record, Coleman's record against teams he's played a lot against, you know, against the top 6, he has 76 matches in his career. He has 3 goals and 9 assists. And then the other teams that he's played against 10 or more times, 84 matches, he has 7 goals and 10 assists. So, like, it makes sense. I don't
know what to do with that, but
well, it just makes sense with like the game script. Like they're pinning the worst teams back more, you know, and Coleman can make those overlapping runs into the box or whatever, and he scores the majority of his goals against the non-top 6. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to say like, oh, he's going to score a million goals in the first 14 game weeks, but it's definitely there, and it's definitely something he offers. And, you know, for those who don't remember, goals for defenders are really fucking good in 6 points. So, you know, I like having both of them. I mean, I was the one who was scared about no Gay, but must be said, I mean, like, there's nothing that would give me more confidence in a team than just they clearly had a plan for it immediately. Like, the next day, they were just getting Kubamin, and they had already gotten Delf. And, like, I like that. Like, I feel like their business has been really good recently, and I like the fact that they had the replacement already picked out, that defensive midfielder from Mainz. And, you know, maybe he's not going to be quite as good as Gay, but he should be. I trust them to, like, get someone pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Gomez still there too. He's good, and I mean, luckily also for them, Delph got hurt, so he can't play. So that's really fucking good for their defense.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good.
All right, so you're on double Liverpool town.
I'm just players. Merseyside, Merseyside for Merseyside.
All right. I mean, I have no problem with that. I just put Dean back in. I need to calm. This is like, okay, calm down. Fine.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our like our weaknesses. You know, it's like we're walking through like Willy Wonka's right now, and like you just have like an infinite gobstopper in your mouth.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm
like,
that's in my pocket. There's no question. I'm stealing that. Yeah, no question.
Just like, come on, bro. Like, come on.
Yeah. All right, so that's defense for right now. I've been looking really hard at Gaza. We're bad. We are going to be really bad this year. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to score goals. Yeah. We're going to struggle. But he does rotate well with Montoya, and we still have like the same players in defense-ish. And he's not that old, and he's got a goal in him. I think he's a pretty decent threat on set pieces, especially when everyone's focused on Benteke for some reason.
God, he scored 6 goals in 16-17.
I mean, that's a fucking lot of goals. That's like, a 6 ton goals, of goals is a lot. That's like almost reaching Vidic territory. Yeah, so, I mean,
Duffy doesn't hit 6 goals.
Well, if you count maybe own goals as well, Duonk. So yeah, so I don't know. Gaz at 4-5, he's next to Mom. I think that's. I mean, I think he's better than Tompkins. So we'll have to see how he settles. But I think that we should be like somewhat the same ish in defense. I mean, we haven't done any business. So
I mean, losing Juan is obviously bad, but I think that, and we talked about this in Slack. I think that under Roy, Palace have just proven that pretty much no matter who's back there, they're going to be solid and conservative and just like prevent good chances and be good defensively. And like for the, you know, mid table ish teams, they've been like the best or, you know, top two or top three defensive team in the mid table for, you know, several seasons in a row. So yeah, I do. I am interested in Cahill, and they have a really good first 4 fixtures. I mean, they've won bad, but home Everton, away Sheffield, Sheffield, and home Villa's really good. So
yeah, okay. So that's it. Let's go to mid. So what are you looking at in your midfield right now?
Well, we both have Salah, I'm sure, and we both have Perez.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. I mean, Mo is just basically. Is coverage. I mean, I'm just too scared.
Yeah, you know what Mo reminded me of? Remember when Rom first went to Manchester United and he was just like 60% owned?
Yeah.
We didn't have him all preseason that season. And when it came time for like this pod, like the one right before game week 1, we were just like, we had like a, you know, heart to heart. And we were just like, we're just being stupid. And it's just too risky to not have this player because they that season United had as good fixtures as like Liverpool have this season, and it's just like the auto cap and the auto guy. It's just Salah is just so easy. But
yeah, and I will definitely not own Salah all season. There's no question. I'm going to be ripping him out at some point. Right. But for right now, the first 2 fixtures. I mean, everyone and their dog capping him against Norwich. It's too risky. I think so. That and then Perez. We've talked about him. We like him. So who else you got in your midfield?
Well, apparently, I still haven't listened to the end of season pod from last season. But apparently, I said the words out of my face that like if Mo is playing some shitty team like Norwich in game week 1, I'm just going to triple captain him.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, I can confirm. I listened back to
TJC
that.
TJC said, Alon, are you triple capping Mo? Like, I don't know. I guess I fucking have to. Like, I don't know.
You don't have to do shit. I say stuff on the pod all the time that I don't do.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's up to you.
I do feel a little bit of pressure to do it. But regardless, yeah. The other 2 guys I have are Raz and Robinson.
Yeah, so I have Robinson and Lukash.
Oh, I'm
pretty off Raz. I mean, I'm just a couple clicks away from putting Raz back in, but I'm pretty off him for the Game Week 1 team.
Okay.
Unlike with Mo, when he's going to be probably effective ownership somewhere in the 150s,
yeah.
Raz is going to be effective ownership somewhere in like the 30s, I think, or maybe well, over, four, captain, a little over 40.
So whatever,
he's just not
going to
be captain.
Is.
And I mean, yeah. At West Ham, home Spurs, 1-2. No one's going to captain him, I would expect, game week 2. And then game week 3 at Bournemouth, when they have a good little run, I can maybe get him back in then. But as of right now, it's like what I keep, I was talking on Slack about this with a bunch of the lads last night, is what it really comes down to is when I'm looking at either him versus one of the premium 11 million strikers, the main difference is I fucking hate the 6'5 and under forwards right now. Like, I can't talk myself into any of them.
Right.
But I love, like, Lucas or, like, Martial. Like, I love the 7'5 guys. So when I look at those pairs, like, that swings it very wildly for me away from Raz and into one of the premium forward guys. So that's kind of my thinking there. And, I mean, I love Raz, obviously. He's a little Razzy boy. He's such a cute guy. But when he went in clean on the keeper and didn't get a shot attempt off in the shield, like, I have, like, I have PTSD over that shit. Like, him going in clean and not, like, even remotely, like, he, like, does that often. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what is this going to keep happening again? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's a challenging thing.
It's a challenging thing for me, Alon.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. That's where I'm at on Raz. So I don't know. I mean, again, you know, nothing is set in stone. And, you know, go with him, go without him. Like, I expect that he's going to be well over in the 200, 225, 50, whatever point range. He's obviously great on the best attack in the league. But for game week one, like, when I'm looking at, like, the Kane and Obbs with those really, with, like, at least one, like, very, very good home banker fixture and getting that midfielder who I prefer strongly to, like, the 6'5 striker forward player.
Yeah, actually, you're selling me hard on this. I actually like that reasoning a lot. I mean, saving a mil and getting a 7'7 or 7'5 midfielder and like, you know, Kane or Obbs with huge fixtures, like, huge explosion potential. Yeah, that is a good reason, especially, like, I know we keep saying it, but, like, early wild card is we're open to an early wild card more this season than we ever have been, probably. And, like, if we need to rip it up and get double city attack at any point, like game week three or something, that can happen.
Yeah,
it is kind of difficult to get back to Raz is a little bit of a factor. I mean, like,
well, it's not, because it's just the reverse of what I just said, and just figuring out where the 6'5", 6 million striker is after a few games of data.
I just mean difficult. It's like, you don't really want to go into game week three using, like, your two free transfers or one transfer or a hit to go, you know, Obbs and midfielder to Raz and forward. I don't know.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
But no, I like your reasoning a lot. Yeah.
The other thing too, that, I mean, this is a little, I mean, so I have Kane and Obbs up top, and
holy shit.
Game week two captaincy is a legitimate issue. And I mean, Obbs, no, granted, Obbs Burnley, like, okay, guy. Low XG. Obbs home Burnley game week two is really big to me. I mean, I'm definitely not captaining Mo at Southampton, especially since they have fucking 8 games in a week, apparently, like you just told me.
Yeah.
And
Southampton played them really well under Ralph. Remember
Southampton
that game?
Southampton play them well. I mean, they just press hard. It's hard. They're tough team, especially at home. And, you know, City play Spurs. You just don't want a piece of that. So I think, I mean, Obbs is just getting, he's in a lot of teams. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I very, very seldom see him in, like, the Slack teams or, like, other, like, good manager, whatever the fuck that means, like, teams. And I think that's a little bit of a mistake. I think he should be in a lot more teams. And I think that, I mean, that game week two captaincy is, like, a very significant thing that's playing on my mind. So,
you're selling me super hard on Obbs. Not really Kane, but oof.
Yeah, I know. You're off Kane. So tell me why you're. So Obbs, you know.
Hold on. We're still in midfield. Right. I still want to hear about Lucas.
Oh, my God, Alon.
No, we're doing the thing where, you know, it's sort of like the Kaylee thing where our brain just moved too fast and we're not speaking fast enough. And, you know, we gotta go through the things. Up Your Arsenal said, is Lucas actually a decent medium term option with Son suspended, Ali injured, and Eriksen possibly out the door? Like, what? What drew you to Lucas?
So I've been going back and forth between him and Tony Gloves.
Okay.
First of all, this Ali injury is something of significance that played on my head a little bit, because it might mean that Lucas gets a little bit more run.
Yeah.
And it's also not like 1,000,000% that if Lucas plays well the first couple games, that Son's just straight back in the first game he's back, like, he could be subbed on or something. So, I mean, realistically, Lucas is definitely a 3-week punt, not a 2-week punt. I mean, I'm going to stick with him game week 3 no matter what happens and see if, I mean, unless he gets injured, and see if he starts or not. Like, if he starts, right, and like, maybe I hang on to him for another week. Like, if he's looking good and playing well, like, I'm not sure. But basically, it's just those fixtures, right? I mean, home Villa is as good as it gets. At City, obviously, is one of the worst fixtures in the league, but, you know, he's still going to be countering and trying to get him behind. So he just feels, and then home Newcastle. I mean, if I get those two games from him, there's just a lot of points potential there. And it's, you know, it's obviously a short-term pick. Both of them. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a short-term pick, and I don't rate him at all. I think he's pretty profligate, and I don't really think he's very good. But his positioning and role in the team is undisputed, and when he's playing up top with Kane, and he's really the furthest guy forward.
Oh, he's way further forward. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be in the points. So that's kind of where I'm thinking about him. But the counter argument there with Martial is, you know, he's also sort of out of position E. The fixtures aren't as good. And I mean, he's the kind of player that, you know, he could just be a mainstay. I mean, I could have him game week one and have him for fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
But I could also just get him laterally. You know, his fixtures get a little better. Like after game week two, you know, home Chelsea at Wolves game week one and two. You know, I mean, home Chelsea could be great. I don't know what Chelsea are up to. They could score 3-4. But, you know, at Wolves.
Like, I mean, just go on. But I don't think Chelsea's defense is really, like, questionable. Like, their defensive midfielders and their defenders and Kepa. I think it's just good.
I don't. So, one, just a side tangent on Chelsea. I was listening to Totally Football this week, and I think it was Coxie, said that of every single manager in the division, the two managers that are least qualified based on their CV to manage a football team is
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Lampard.
And Fat Frank.
Yep.
They're playing each other. Ole's got to look, but Fat Frank is an unproven, wild card manager. So they have Conte, but I just don't know what they're doing. Whatever. That aside, Pogba, I mean, Martial is like just going laterally to him makes more sense than starting and going for like the fireworks with Lukasz, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at there. I don't know.
Yeah, I like it. No, I mean, I do like Davey Boy's on him and stuff. And also, like, you know, for what it's worth, he's been red hot in preseason. He scored a really nice goal against Inter. And I've been seeing, I didn't watch any like Spurs preseason games or anything, but I've been seeing chatter that they've been like in a diamond a lot. So they've been playing with two up top, which is Kane plus Lucas or Kane plus Son. And then there's kind of like that number 10, like freer role behind him. And it's not necessarily Eriksen or Ollie. I mean, it has been Ollie, but he's hurt. But my point basically is, if they're playing that and Lucas is playing really well and he wants to get Son back in the team in game week 3 or whatever, then there is kind of another position Son can play, which is behind Kane and Lucas. And they won't lose a lot by doing that. So, yeah, I think Lucas, as far as like guys where you're booking a transfer, he definitely, to me, has the highest upside. Like, he actually has hat-trick potential. He's fucking done it before, you know? We throw that around a lot, but he's actually done it before. So.
Yeah. Are we done in midfield?
I think so. I mean, I don't need to talk about Sterling. And you're on Dendonker, I assume?
Yeah, fucking peace. Well, now I am. I was on Jonjo, but I had to put Dean back in because no help me.
Okay, but hold on. Is there any reason to just go for a different 4-5? Like, I know you talked about this last week with like the 4-0 goalie and stuff like that, which, by the way, I'm off button. Like, I'm still scared of it. Like, I don't want to have a 4-3 button on my team or something like that. But everyone in the world.
What? Who do you have as your 4-0 then?
I just have this non-playing guy. He's literally not even on the team anymore. He's on Swansea.
Okay.
He's in the championship. Wow, he's on loan.
26% on. Yeah, I might have to get rid of
him. I just don't want any part of that. I just want some other 4-0 guy who never plays, because Button is also a 4-0 guy who never plays.
Button is Hamer this year, and he's going to be like 3-8 by game week 12.
That's what I'm scared of. I just don't want any part of that shit. And then also, I was thinking about it regarding Dendonker, too. I mean, obviously, he's like Nail. I got you going. Once I get Walsh going, we're really fucking going. But
wait, which guy do you have? Woodman or Woodman. Chuck Norris?
Okay. Newcastle Woodman. Keeper loaned to Swansea. He's not even in the league. Good job,
everybody. Right, Woodman's in. I'm joining you.
And the opportunity to get a championship player in FPL is just rare. You got to take those opportunities.
All right.
And then Dendoncker, I was thinking about it too. Like, okay, he's on Wolves. They're pretty good. He is probably starting. Like But all things say he's starting, and that's great. And, like, yeah, maybe he'll score the occasional goal or something. But he's 14.1% owned. Like, basically everyone has him that I've seen on Slack and Twitter. But why – what's the point of really going with him over, like, Hayden or, like, some other nailed 4-5 when, like, the price could drop? I'm just spitballing and thinking about, like, things. Like,
I mean, first of all, Hayden's not nailed. But aside from that – the reason is every fucking team I see has a dead 4-5 forward and a 4-0 defender who's like Lundqvist.
That's true.
Like
that's
Henrik Lundqvist. So you just want someone who's going to get a couple minutes if he's outside.
Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah, okay. Good.
You just want someone that can come in for a couple minutes. But the way that you're saying it, like when I'm looking at my team right now and I'm good, if I do something like Montoya and Cahill as a rotation, then that would make sense for me to go like Hayden, who is actually like good, kind of, and has some attacking threat.
He seems nailed to me. You really don't think he's nailed?
They got that new kid, and I think they have four spots for five players. I mean, like, I don't know who's going to drop out. They have Almiron, they have the Jolines, they've got the fucking long staff, little staff, double staff. Like, they've got a lot of action in midfield. So someone's going to have, like, you know, someone's going to have to miss out.
He's basically been like sure starter in preseason for whatever that's worth. Yeah.
Saint Maximin or whatever.
Yeah, he's like a winger. And Joey Linton is a forward. I mean, I think it's going to be like Jonjo, Hayden, and Longstaff or something like that in like central midfielders. And then like Almiron would be further forward. And yeah. And so what formation is Brucey even in, actually? I don't even
know. He's been playing three at the back, same formation as Rafa.
Okay.
So I think that should stay. So, you know, I mean, then they have the two midfield spots, and then they have two attackers? Is that am I adding correctly? Five plus no, they have two midfield spots, three attackers, sort of. So they have
Three midfielders and two attackers. It depends how they set up.
Almiron, new guy, Longstaff.
No, I think Shelby. I honestly think it's basically three central midfielders, Longstaff, Hayden, Shelvey. In front of them, Almiron. In front of him, Joey Linton.
So you think new Saint-Maximin, he's going to take some time?
Yeah, I don't think from everything I've seen about him, he's just like a pure like dribbling winger. And, you know, exciting talent and stuff. But that doesn't fit into that formation, I don't think. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hayden, I mean, whenever I had tinkered around with three midfielders instead of four, Hayden was the first guy I put in next to Donks. But I think that's worthy of some time spent to, because like this is the kind of spot that, you know, we don't really look at. We just kind of are like, oh, everyone's got Dendoncker. Like he's playing, like you said, you know.
That's exactly what I mean.
But when the season starts off and we have 2 months in the books and this is not a spot we spend a transfer on, and we look at, you know, Dendoncker and like, oh, fuck. Like he came in twice and he got like 1 and 2 points because that's what he's going to do every week.
And now he costs 4-2.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he would have to lose his place to Plummet, I think. But point taken, yeah. So I think that's a good job by you. I like that. I like that a lot.
Just throwing that out there.
No, it's good. It's good. I put Hayden back in.
I like Hayden. He can actually do stuff.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's actually good. I mean, he wanted to move away. They had to have given him some assurances that he's going to be getting minutes to keep him or whatever, right? That makes sense. So
Yeah. And then so forward. So you're Obbs, Kane, and let me guess, Wickham.
Obviously, Connor's going nowhere. He could be fucking 90% owned. Yeah. I mean, he's only 3% owned, but he's so much better than Benteke. I trust that it's going to happen. He's going to fucking be starting over Benteke this season. I can feel it happening. So, I mean, you know, Kane, so Obs kind of made the case already. Really, first two games, really good. You know, added fucking Papega Pepe. They're just could be festivals scoring goals this season.
Do you think you're planning on transferring him out after
that? I
don't
know. 1,000,000% depends on what I see the first two games. I mean, at Liverpool is fucking garbage, dumpster fire, trash, worst fixture of the season. Home Spurs is pretty great. I mean, I think that I always expect goals in that derby, and then he's got it at Watford, Home Villa.
It is a high scoring derby. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. So I only see one bad fixture in six, and it's very probable that I hold on to him. The only issue is then I don't know what I do about City, because my draft, if you've been following at home, dear listener, has zero City players in it. So that's pretty psychotic. And I mean, Kane might be the make weight, but I know you're off Kane, but my case for Kane is just that he always scores points when he plays, and he had a break and he's fit by all means. I understand the role. Maybe he's playing a little bit more reserved in the diamond or playing two up top, and maybe he's more of a support striker. I don't even necessarily know if that's bad. I mean, he can't take players on anyway. All he can do is like shift cleverly and get a shot off with like a little millisecond and try and top bin it. So he's on pens. They seem to get some pens and such like this, and he just gets points. He's going to score 200 plus points this season if he plays 3,000 minutes, which he will always obviously do if he stays fit. And he's fit game week one, and it's kind of back to what you're talking about with Dean. I mean, you know, at City's bad game week two, we talked about if that fixture was game week five and Home Palace was game week two, and you look at one bad in the first five, everyone would be thinking, I think, a little bit differently about Kane. So I think that, you know, at 11, he's just going to be value. He's also a captainable at home. You know, they're also going to actually be playing at home for the first time in 2 years, which we haven't mentioned really on the pod at all, but yeah, I can't imagine that's not going to hurt. So I just like Kane. You know, he always is also just a good returner for me personally. When I own him in FPL, I like feel good. My wife likes him. She's like, you need Kane. And I'm like, yeah, because it rhymes with Kuhn. So like that feels good. Well, it doesn't rhyme with Kuhn. It has a first letter. Whatever.
You rhyme with Kuhn. I don't know what fucking shit you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm getting excited because I'm not so scared anymore.
Yeah. No, I mean,
so that's where I'm at. You know, that's where I'm at.
I can't really argue against any of those points. I mean, he does consistently return points whenever he plays in FPL. He hasn't been explosive for a while. He hasn't braced since December. You know, since like before his injury, he's just been like kind of ticking along a goal or maybe an assist or something like that. And I don't know. I'm just, When I look at a guy that costs 11 million forward, I want them to sort of have the 2-3 goal potential. And like it's silly to say that Kane doesn't have that and he's on pens and stuff, but he hasn't shown that for a long time. He hasn't shown.
Well, he didn't show a fucking chode to us last season. Like
that's what I'm saying. Like
he was awful.
He just hasn't.
But
been good in a long time. Like Kane levels of good.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I do think that having his first summer off in like 5 years is significant for him. And I think that I don't buy that he's going to repeat last season. He's not. That's not him. Like, he has a strong track record, and the outlier is last season.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you can, of course, wait and see and be like, all right, I'm going to watch the first couple games and see what he's up to and if he's doing it. But I just feel strongly enough that he's like, I don't want to miss home Villa, home Newcastle. I mean, those are two of like the five or six fixtures of the season where you want Kane. And
yeah,
that's kind of where I totally take your point about the lack of explosivity based on last season. But, you know, we do know that this is an explosive player with hat tricks. He's had plenty
for
of them.
Sure,
so,
for sure.
So yeah, you know, that's where I'm at. And again, you know, I can't really like argue he's better than Raz. Like, he's not, but I don't really think I need to make an argument that like I like Lucas more than like King, which is
right.
More significant of a difference to me than what I'm doing here. So I don't know. So that's
you're selling me fucking hard on these guys, and you're a good salesman. I don't really have anything else to say like against Kane in that regard. Like, I guess one of the things with him is that like you're still not going to captain him game week one because everyone has Mo, right? So it's like hurts his value.
I might actually, I'm really thinking about it. Yeah. It's a little crazy, but I might do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have negative things to say against that. I mean, I think the biggest negative about your team right now is just no City players, which is diabolical.
Yeah, big problem. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. It's 100% diabolical.
Major problem. But if you can figure out a way to go, like, OBS to Raz in game week 3, and maybe you can find, like, money for a City defender around the same time or something like that, then you'll be fine. I don't think not having City in game weeks 1 and 2 is going to, like, destroy you.
No, I agree. And it must be said as well, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but there is always the thing where, you know, a few games go and Liverpool defense is just clicking like they were last season, and, you know, I get a third Liverpool defender and I turn Mo into Raz like very easily.
That's
like,
also that way,
you know, so that's if, and assuming that I look at my captaincy with between Kane, OBS and Raz, and I have like a very good captaincy opportunity, which I expect, this is part of the reason why when I started tinkering, I was nowhere near Mo, is because of this reason. So we'll see about that. But what's your forward line right now?
I just have Callum Wilson and Supi, Haller, West Ham.
Right, so talk to me about Callum is extremely safe.
There's not that much I have to say about him. Just extremely safe, looking good. Fraser's fit, really, really good first two fixtures. Then maybe he's out of my team. Like that's basically the beginning, middle, and end of Callum. But he's just good. He's just a good player. And Allaire, I don't know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying with like trying to differentiate the short-term, mid-term, long-term. Like I look at him and I just see like his season totals. Like I just see like, you know, like 12 to 15 goals and double-digit assists. And I'm just like, yes, like I want that player. And he has really good fixtures, game weeks 2, 3, 4, 5. I want that. Obviously, bookended with home City, home United is not great, especially City. But they're just not like what I was. The other version of this team, I kind of was on like Ings, and I was like spreading money out, or you know, just other like 6-5 guys spreading money out in different places. But I just like don't like or really trust any of them like enough to start my season with, and I just feel. So even though Allaire's like unproven in the Prem, whatever the fuck, like he's just nailed 1,000,000% nailed in the team, and he's just like been quality for two seasons. You know, even though it's in a different league, he's been like quality, and that's why his price was what it was. And I just feel like so unsafe with like, well, I hate King and like Jota and Europa League and his fixtures and. You know, De La Fe is still flat, and the Burnley have bad fixtures, and they're Burnley, and it's just like all led me back to like squeezing the funds to get to Allaire. Like I feel like he's like the safety net for me in that cheap range is Wilson and Allaire. Honestly, like the 8 and 7.5 is like not risky and good players.
Yeah, love it. I love the pick.
Yeah. I just want Kane and Ob, so I just want your team.
It'll wear off. The snake oil salesman's pitch will wear off very quickly, I'm sure.
I don't know. My mouse is dangling over the X next to Raz. Let's just say.
All right. All right. We need to do questions. We're about an hour. This will probably be another 40 minutes. Is that cool?
This is going to be a long pod.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. I'm gonna need a break. I'm gonna need a break to get some more water, but
should we just do that now?
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we got a lot of questions. We got a long pod ahead of us, so let's just dive in. So I like this one. Jordan on Twitter, he said, for your final fireside pod, and fireside's the wrong, you know, lingo, but that's okay. I found it useful to look at your final draft of your team. And ask yourself, what do you feel good about? What do you sketch on? And what absolutely terrifies you? Reflect and possible final tinkers from there. So I think that's a good way to look at a team. We just went through our team. So I don't know. What are your answers, I guess?
I think rotating 4 or 5 defenders for a spot is sketch. I don't know how many points that's going to yield.
Yeah.
I'm terrified about owning 0 Man City players. And I don't know if that's where I'm going to land, but as of this moment, that terrifies me. And I feel good about, I don't know, maybe nothing. I don't know.
Forwards. I think you sounded like you felt good about your forwards, like Kane and Obbs. Like Kane's your baby blanket, your binky.
My binky. I love him. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. What about you? What's your answer to these three things?
I feel good about my double Everton defense. I like took me a long route to kind of get there, kind of started there, went away, came back. I feel good about them now. I'm just sketch on like going to template, like going Mo and Raz and just having like, you know, my money not distributed that well and just it's just super template and boring a little bit.
Maybe boring, but it's super good.
It's good, but like, I mean, yeah, I keep
you
going back.
You have some fun things. Like, you have Allaire and you've got like your double.
No,
you
I do.
You have Callum together. That'll be so fun for us.
Yeah, that'll be great. But I guess what I mean is like, I keep going back and forth with Raz because he's obviously amazing and he's 12 for a reason, but I'm not going to be captaining him game weeks 1 and 2. Maybe I'll captain him game week 3. I probably will, actually, so this is kind of stupid, but I just am like, I'm not getting the value out of a double digit guy. Like, I'd rather have Obbs, captain him game week 2, so blah blah blah, and I just keep going through these debates, and then it always ends up in the same place. It was like, well, I'm not gonna have no Man City players, you know, I'm not fucking crazy, so
thanks.
But yeah, I don't know, so that's I don't know. And then what absolutely terrifies me? I mean, it's just, I guess I'm just absolutely terrified that I'm going to just mad scientist my way to another like diabolical season like last season. I guess I'm just absolutely terrified of over managing and overthinking everything.
Yeah. What terrifies me about your team is I'm going to like look at FPL on Friday and click on your team and it's going to just be random, like completely different. And I'm gonna look at it and just be like, oh,
5 a.m. tinker. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
you're gonna.
Very
I'm gonna
real.
Look. You're gonna have like De Gea, Vertonghen.
Oh,
like I'm gonna
god.
Just look and be like, oh my god, what
Ox
did you do?
And Keita.
Yeah, you're gonna have like Origi, like captain. I'm gonna be like,
yeah,
oh Cats no,
Origi, so obvious. Yeah, no, that right. I mean, those are the same things, right? I'm terrified of myself. That's what I'm absolutely terrified of.
I mean, I'm going to be incommunicado for like the 5 hours before the deadline. So,
oh God,
you're going to be alone.
I need to just shut it all down then, and just I don't know, lock it in or something. But all right, Rearview Inc. on Reddit, not safe for work question. What player that is not at all template is giving you a teardrop sized piece of jizz at the end of your cock whenever you think about their prospects for the season? So he's really talking about like that pre-cum, not like the full load, you know?
Pre-cum.
I mean, Callum Robinson, right?
That's not pre-cum, though. That's like the whole thing.
That's balls deep.
It all comes out. Pre-cum. I think maybe for me it's like Allaire. Because I'm like, I don't know. Like, I know that Callum Robinson's the best midfielder in the game. But I don't. But I don't know if Allaire's going to hit those heights. Like,
yeah,
in the
you
first
don't know
few
if he's
weeks.
Incredible yeah. or, like, not that good.
Yeah, yeah. What
and West Ham has such a good record of paying lots of money for strikers. So it's going to be.
They haven't
great.
Had a good striker in our lifetime.
Yeah, actually.
What about you? What are you? Is there anyone coming anymore?
I guess, yeah, the first place I go is just kind of like Villa. Like, I just love Grealish and I love McGinn. And, like, I'm interested in even, like, Wesley. Like, he this fucking, like, comes from, like, the Belgian league. No idea what he's about. I just feel like, I don't know, I'm just, like, excited about them for some reason. I think a lot of the FPL people I follow on Twitter are Villa fans, and they're always like posting clips and like quotes and like all this shit, and I'm just like, yes, like Gilbert, like get in there, like I'm just like, yeah, like a bunch of like punty guys like that I'm interested in.
Okay.
Halfian's like, what the fuck formation is best? I've literally tinkered every format except 3-4-3.
I've been pretty much on 4-4-2 for 3 or so 4 weeks. I think it's the best.
What don't you like about five at the back?
It really is I mean, there are many things, actually.
Okay.
First thing is, I don't think that there are enough, like, alternative options that are good where you could go in a straight swap. Right. Like, if you have five and a half plus midfielders or defenders, and, like, one or two of them, like, you know, maybe Everton don't keep a clean in the first three, and you're like, holy shit, what do I do? Like, I mean, no, seriously.
Yeah, no.
I mean, what are you going to buy, like, fucking Pereira and stick with your five at the back? That's ridiculous. So that's one thing. I mean, it's so funny that they priced Doc at six. It's so good. The other thing is just the flexibility is just not there to, like, jump on bandwagons. And you know that the slowest price movers are defenders. So, like, having the upside to be able to hop on, like, the mid-price mids and forwards and having an extra slot there seems good. And clean sheets, you know, are the really long-term pick. And, like, maybe when you wildcard game, like, six or seven, and we have a clear picture of, like, what's happening, then you go five at the back and you don't really have an issue because you know more information. But right now, you know, we don't know which mid-price players in forward or midfield are going to be firing or how many of them. But I like having that flexibility to be able to, you know, to hop around and have some fun there. So I guess those are the only two reasons, perhaps.
I think big time yes for me on both of those reasons. And the last reason is that there's probably, we all assume that there's actually a 4-0 playing guy. And that is not, you know, not relevant. Like Lundstrom, 4-0 playing guy, there might be like Rico, there might be Kelly, like whatever. But having a bench guy that it is the lowest possible price in the game that you can actually sub in and get minutes is good. And, you know, so I want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that point too.
Okay. Tio on Slack, thoughts on a Montoya Lundfuck rotation for the first five game weeks? Away Bournemouth, home Wet Spam, home Southampton, away Chelsea, home Burnley. That doesn't seem that good. away just Chelsea thinking. Just kind of stuck in there. Like home West Ham, that's like not good.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that away Palace is the best team to rotate with Montoya. I was looking at it for a little while, and that's what I came to. So
for a while, I was on Gilbert and Montoya because I think it's reasonable to start Montoya for all of the first
dude.
Six.
Do you realize that Villa are just bad? Like they're full. They're bad.
No, they're
not good. No, they're not.
They're good.
Oh my god. They bought a new team.
No, but I'm talking about just bad. Even for rotation purposes. I think you can start a Brighton defender for the first six game weeks, except for game week four away Man City. And I think, you know, away Palace is a pretty good game week four. And, you know, so like if you have like, you know, an attacking fullback on, even if Villa are bad, I think that that's like a pretty reasonable like rotation thing.
Yeah, the Palace has home Villa game week four.
Well, yeah, they play each other.
yeah. No, but right, good one, go. All right.
But right, like, that's Villa's hot. Attack is probably going to be better than Palace's, right? Like, is that crazy to say?
I don't think there's a team's attack that's worse than us. That's I think we're I mean. The worst attack in the league.
That's what I mean. So between the two, I'd rather have the defense there. Against the worst attack in the league.
That was a high IQ play. I see what you did there. You flipped the script on me. Yeah, however,
I cornered you.
The other difference that is not mentioned in the quality of attack is how like solid we are defensively. So.
Yeah. Palace, very good defense. No, that's right. All. That's all fair.
Every time you say Gilbert's name correctly, I have to, in my head, like remember that his name's Gilbert.
Fred Gilbert.
It's fucking, yeah, I'm not going to lie.
DW on side, who's your favorite punt to start the season? And we're both Robinson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff D on Slack, do we avoid City defense for now? And Jack on Slack, with Laporte as a doubt, how is life without City defense from the start?
Maybe I'm pretty excited about Freddie Woodman in my team, actually. That might be my new favorite punt.
Who?
Woodman.
Oh, dude, Woodman.
That's amazing. It's just so good.
It's just so nice to have a red flag that like you don't care about.
I love that. We could actually wank our benches every week with Woodman because he's not even on the team.
That's the best thing ever.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, well, the question was City defense or whatever?
Yeah, just City defense in general. Like, is it okay to go without? And Laporte's a doubt. And, like, what do we just avoid? What's the deal? And for me, this is why I have Ederson. And that's what I talked about at the beginning of the pod is like, I am really sketched out. I have no idea who's going to start. Cancelo's coming in. I literally know none of the starters and Laporte is knocked or something. So I have no idea. Ederson is extremely safe. City are going to keep a lot of cleans. You know, Pep's teams always do. Their defense is really, they don't allow any shots, etc. They're going to keep 20 clean. So not going with them doesn't seem great to me because we know they're going to keep around 20 clean. So I want that. But I think it's reasonable to avoid maybe at the beginning with a plan to get one of the 5-5 guys in, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, or you just go like Zinchenko. I think Laporte's going to play. I mean, I think he was
starting with Zinchenko or Stones is totally fine. Starting with either of them. Yeah, Laporte. I don't know. He wasn't even on the bench, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we just don't know. I think it's fine to start with Zinchenko for sure. He does feel just like a small smidge safer than Stones because there's just the Angelino kid looks like he's not ready to go. And he just doesn't really have a replacement for Zinchenko with Mendy out.
Yeah.
He can always play on a Mendy. I mean, I just don't know what the fuck's happening there. So
Laporte,
I think that's fine.
2 hours ago, Dinnery tweeted Laporte was warming up with the main group, the mains, the ones.
Yeah, he's probably fine. So, probably I think that if you want to go there and just have the safety, I think that Laporte's fine. And the other thing, like, right, worst case is if he misses one game, you get your little Lundstrom boy up. Like, you get a point or whatever. It's not the end of the world, but you're going to set yourself up for with that solid pick for the long term for as long as you want.
Yeah, I might go back to Laporte. I mean, the thing you said about him getting, like, the goals and shit, that's not true. I definitely disagree with that. Like, he scored 3 goals. Last time he was a starter, 16-17, scored 2 goals. Before that, 3 goals. Has, like, the XG underlying to back it up. Like, he wasn't overperforming. He's actually underperforming his underlying in all of those seasons.
What are you waiting for? Why'd you wait until hour 3 of the pod to bring that in?
Because I didn't open the page.
Oh, good one. Good one.
That's all it is. Yeah. I could see a world where I go Laporte over Ederson and go back to Pope. Could happen, but then I'd have to drop one of my defenders, which I don't know about, or go 5 at the back.
Okay, either way, these two players are good. Zinch, obviously a risk and will be a transfer waiting to happen, but could be okay to start with. Likewise for Stony Boy. Yeah, and I think, I mean, they're having a piece of City defense is great because, like you said, that's good.
House of Kane on Slack, Jesse Boy, rank Fraser, Zaha, and Perez. I can afford 2.
I mean, Wilf looks like he's not an option in any way, shape, or form today, right?
Yeah, what the hell's going on with that?
I don't know.
He didn't play a single minute in preseason, and he's handing in transfer requests and shit. So that's
this question not
good. Answers itself.
Yeah, it's the other two guys. But really, the answer is Callum Robinson and whoever else you want.
Exactly. Or McGinn, or both. Tio on Slack, who's your favorite 6-5 striker to start the first 5-ish? So he's just looking for the short-term guy. Oh, God, it's so disgusting. It's really just gross.
Like, the thing is, it looks gross, but there will be at least one of these guys who's just like gold.
At least one of the 6-5s or 6-0s.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
There's
that's
way more 6-0s that interest me than 6-5s. If I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's Che, there's Dingy Boy, there's the new fucking kid that Brighton bought. You know, there's some 6 guys, but I mean, I've kind of come back around on Wood. He's not the most skilled. He's not the most skilled player. I'm sure you've heard that before about Chris Wood, but I mean, you know, that Burnley team is so, it's like McNeil must look around at training and be like, how am I on this team of like fucking like carpenters and like car mechanics? Like, it's just like, what is happening? But Wood just like knows how to score and he knows how to, his movement's always good, and you know, I mean, he's been banging them in preseason. But that aside, like towards the end of last season,
9,000 goals in preseason. Have you seen?
I mean,
this
they
shit?
Played some like
he has 9 goals. Team.
Yeah, it's dumb. But, I mean, he scored 10 last year, 10 the year before, like in limited minutes. I mean, Burnley attacked last season, seemed like they were doing a little bit more things. And, I mean, the J-Rod presence is a little bit of a worry. And, you know, he can always not start Wood or would maybe sub him earlier, things like this nature. But he just seems like the best goal scorer.
The first two fixtures are like also pretty good. Like, home Southampton's definitely good. But away Arsenal, yeah. I feel like that's like not a terrible match for Burnley attack. Like, I feel like, you know, just long balls and quick counterattacks, which is what they specialize in, like, that could catch Arsenal out. I could see that. I could see, like, Wood bullying one of their center backs easily, you know? So, I don't know. But, I mean, for me, it was Gerry D for a while. But I obviously wouldn't go there unless we get, like, a clear, like, training with the first team, press conference type of thing with his injury. But I like his first four fixtures a lot more than all of these other guys, so I think that's good. I mean,
they just bought Welbs.
Yeah, they bought Welbs, but you know, Gerry D's better. I mean, a lot of top managers have King. I don't like the pick at all. I don't need to like say that again. I ranted about him last pod, but like just following a top team, like a bunch of top managers into the depths with King and then, you know, dealing with him later is probably not bad. Like, they're not stupid. They're good managers. So, you know, that's a thing. I don't know.
Yep.
Would you start like Ings over any of these guys? Or would you start like,
I don't fucking know. I mean, this is part of the... I have no...
It's part of the reason you're not shopping in this bracket.
This is what I feel the least secure about in the whole game is the 6-5 million and under forwards about predicting which ones. Like, right. I have no fucking clue.
And Ings has home Liverpool in game week two, so like...
Yeah, I just... I mean, at least he can play in that game this year, but I just have no idea. I mean, it's... The best thing that I've came to the realization was that I have no fucking idea and I'm not trying to figure it out anymore. And I'm just like, I ran away from it. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, that's the reason I was shouting a guy like Wesley, who like I've never seen kick a ball in my life, aside from my pre-cum for Aston Villa. It's just like, at least he has the fixtures, like at least 1-5, you know, away Spurs, but then he has home Bournemouth, home Everton, away Palace, home West Ham. Like, that's better. That's like a better reason to have him than almost all of these guys, in my opinion. So that's why I was talking about him. But yeah. Brad on Slack. Yeah, we kind of answered this. And then the other one is Salah, Sterling, Mane, Aguero, Obs, Kane are the premiums. Rank them from best to worst.
I mean,
I don't even know what this means. Because they have prices and stuff that matter, but.
And it still comes back to the thing. You can't compare like the midfielder to the forward because you have to figure out who the second player is, like who the cheap mid and who the cheap forward is, or whatever that you're pairing with that player.
So yeah,
I think it realistically you throw it out the window, and I would look at captaincy first and make sure that you've got your two guys are good captaincy. You know, play together well with captaincy.
Yeah, yeah. Barry and on Slack, look into the crystal ball. It's game week 6 and you're flying. What's gone right for you? I love this question.
I love that question because so I don't good. Spend enough time. I don't spend enough time in that crystal ball because I'm usually just like, I'm going to be at least 2 million rank after game week 6.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think so Montoya would have had one like 15 pointer.
Assist and bones.
Yeah, Aubameyang will be like the top goal scorer at that point, and I would have spiked like insane captaincy haul on Kane when everyone else had like a Mo blank.
Yeah,
those are my things. What are your things? And Woodman comes in off the bench for a fucking barnstormer.
Woodman returns on loan. Ederson misses a game. Obviously for both of us, Callum Robinson is just ticking for the entire season.
Well, I don't like. That wouldn't surprise me. Like, that's just like an expected thing. Like, that's going to happen. Okay, so I was looking at the other spots.
You know? Okay. I mean, for me, it would be Allaire is just as good as I want him to be right out the gate. Like
Better than Jimenez.
Right. I expect him to be. And, you know, home city, he should probably blank. But, like, at Brighton, at Watford, home Norwich, at Villa, I need, like, Allaire, a lot of points, a lot of goals and assists, and maybe even on pens if Noble's out. And the other thing that would really carry me, I mean, a lot of people have Everton D. I don't think a lot of people have double, though. I would need, like, some cleans, like, you know, three cleans or something like that in the first six, which they have the fixtures to do, but it's still a big ask, and some attacking returns probably. That's probably how I'd get there.
Yep.
Great question. Ivansky on Slack, does the addition of Keane improve Rich or Siggy? Does the loss of Gay and Zuma hurt Coleman or Dean more? Well, the loss of Gay and Zuma hurts them equally, I would say. But the addition of Keane, and Rich doesn't really pass or create chances, which is why he's good in FPL, to be fair. And Siggy deceptively also doesn't really create anything in open play. Like, a lot of his XA and key passes and all chances created and all that shit come from set plays. So I think actually the addition of Keane improves Coleman and Dean more to the level where I'm more excited about them, which is how I started. But if between just Rich and Siggy, it's got to be Siggy.
I agree. I think that the addition of Keane, DCL was like the reason why Siggy started getting a lot of points at the end of the season. Right.
Like, yeah, the hold up yeah.
And letting him run. Like, Keane, I've watched maybe 45 minutes of him play, like, as subs from Juventus highlights or one game I watch or something.
Yeah.
I don't believe him to be the same type of player. So I think that that's a thing. I mean, the Gay, all the things, the losses of defense is just kind of similar to, like, what we mentioned. Like, no, I'm not confident that Everton are going to keep a bunch of clean sheets. It's fucking Everton. Like, they're like an eighth to sixth place side, and Silva's not a defensive manager. They just press like fuck and hope that little T-Rex fuck for it at the back. And
yeah, I liked when Kayla was just like, Silva is a madman. It's like, hell yeah, go on.
So, like, you know, they need things to go right during the game to keep cleans. They don't set up for it, really. So, right. Whatever. Dean, but like
Keane,
you said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, Keane doesn't have a history of any creativity. So, like, and he seems like the just shot on sight guy. I mean, he played limited minutes, so his per 90s are kind of like, you know,
not enough sample.
Yeah, they're like weighted heavily. Subs have better per 90s than starters, but he was shooting 3.42 per 90 last season with Juve. That's a lot. That's like, that's shooting constantly with under a key pass per 90. So, like, he's a box striker goal scorer. So, I mean, like,
the one caveat with that is, though, I mean, when you're coming on against the tired legs in the
Cagliari
last 20 minutes, like, the high per 90, like, extrapolating, like, getting to play fresh as fuck for 15 minutes, right. And then, like, that's a little misleading. But, no, take your point. So, I mean, it's just a question mark, and this is another thing, right? I mean, Everton have gone through some fairly reasonable changes. I mean, they're going to have a new center back, they're going to have a new DM, they're going to have a new striker, so it remains to be seen how these things fit in, you know? But, no.
Yeah. I mean, so he started, I'm just looking at Keane a little bit harder, but he started 4 of the last 10 matches that he appeared in for Juve. And in those, he got 13 shots, which is super solid. And he got 5 key passes. So, you know, like around like 1 key pass per start he was doing for Juve when he was starting, but a lot of shots. And we like that. And good, like, XG and stuff. So, yeah, I don't expect him.
No, he'll probably be good. I mean, he did set a really high target of goals for himself this season, 7.
So, I can't believe shit. It's fucking pretty, 7, dude. Oh my god.
It's pretty safe to say he'll hit that mark, but yeah,
Keane might come in aside soon. Like, once he nails it down, 7 is a good price.
seven's a good price. I mean, it's similar to Allaire, where it's like, you know, you have Callum, right? And you see the first two, and then you're like, all right, well, these two players both could be sexy boys, and that's an easy swap.
That's like actually exactly what I'm thinking about with Callum.
I don't think it's even in the remote same category. If you want to start Game Week 1, it's Allaire all day, not close. I mean, we don't know if Keane's going to start. We just, yeah, he's not played a minute for them. He probably won't, and we don't know how fast or slow he's going to get integrated into the team. So that's the thing for sure, but it is definitely a monitor. But yeah, I mean,
if Keane was 8, do you think that would have been totally unreasonable?
No, not at all. Yeah, I think
7-5 with like maybe he'll be 8.
No, yeah, I think 7 is unreasonable. I think they mispriced him.
I think they mispriced him. And so I have Callum, and he, you know, obviously has home Sheffield United, away Villa, 1-2. And then he has home City, away Leicester. Like, I'm very much thinking about a game like 3, like Callum to Keane.
Yeah, could be on the cards.
Yeah, if he does stuff. Sam on Slack is going with Allaire up front, lone striker acceptable. Have you fucked with any one striker formations at all?
Not at all. No.
It's just it makes your bench guaranteed nightmare because it's horrible. Five non-playing players on your bench.
It's horrible. I mean, I think it's really bad. There has never been a one striker team that I'm like, oh, that's a great team. It's just, there's too much that can go wrong. Like, it just hits waiting to happen. There's the upside.
In theory, it's good. It's just the bench and stuff is just so bad.
I think it's, in theory, bad. Like, I think the theory behind it is really bad. Like, you're having two dead players and one usually like a 4-0 defender or a 4-5 midfielder, and it's just, that's not enough. It's just not.
Yeah, it's just not good.
And it's not good.
So, House of Kane, Jesse again. Who's Walsh's Dilva pick this year? Was that last year when he shouted Dilva, who got a bunch of points and then hated him for the rest of the season? No, that was two seasons ago. But regardless, we haven't gotten really a Walsh's balls shout all preseason.
Oh, like a balls pick?
Yeah, so maybe it's goodness. Time for a little heat check on your balls.
I don't have one.
Okay. We never force it on anyone.
No, I don't have one where I'm like willing to stake it and say like this is a player that everyone should own that doesn't own. Like I don't see a Rondon yet. I'm just not there.
C-type.
If anything it would probably be like Iose, but he's in like every team. It's just an obvious pick. So that's like, you know. All right,
Speaking of Iose, C-Tech and Slack, should I not get Iose because he's being shouted the same way Jota was last season?
That's the best reason I've heard not to have him.
Yep. Absolutely. Me and you auto including going nuts on him is like a great reason not to have him.
Yeah. Very good reason not to have him.
Yep. Magic Mike and Phil asking about Spurs defense. Magic Mike, with Trippier gone and Ndombele, and it feels like Spurs defense should be drastically improved. Price is slightly under all the other premium defenders. Are Spurs the team to have two defenders from alongside your two Liverpool for monster keeper plus three defensive combo? And then Phil said, any thoughts on KWP now that Trippier's left?
Yeah, I guess we touched a little bit on KWP.
We touched on KWP, yeah.
Yeah, but I flirted with Toby a little bit. I do think that they're priced well when you look around the defender prices and you just see them all at 5-5. The main issue is that there's just no attacking intent. Like, there's just nothing there. I mean, the only player, I mean, Rose, he's just so bad, but they still have Bavis there and I expect him to still play some. And Sanchez is like the only player I ever see there that looks like he could get a header, score a header. I mean, Toby somehow has just turned into a pumpkin, hasn't scored in like dog's years, and Vert, we know what he is. So that's the main thing for me, and they don't get bonus points really either. So
for me, it's also the fixtures. I mean, if they had like some sort of Everton opening run where I'm like, okay, they could get like 7 in 10 cleans or something crazy like that, but I mean, two of the first four, I very much do not expect to clean. They have away City, away Arsenal. Like, those are, like, that's just awful. So,
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And it does speak why KWP is a workable asset, because you can rotate him, but you can't rotate a 5-5 guy. No team's going to be able to afford to do that.
Yeah.
And, like you said, game week 2 and 4, I mean, that's probably 2 points total in those two games, I would anticipate.
Total, something like that. And
which is not where you want to be. So yeah,
not great. You know. Mr. Tools had a trillion questions as usual. I just picked one. Are we just set on no Kuhn? And if so, why? Is Salah, Sterling, and Kuhn too much to stretch to?
Yeah, I'm so not set on that. I have a very easy way to get there with my two premiums. So I just want to wait and see. I mean, I still, even though he gets subbed off early, I'm not buying that Jesus is going to be taking minutes from him.
No, I don't buy that.
And I still like Kuhn as a home captaincy option more than Raz. It just still feels better to me. And it must be said again, we mentioned it a couple pods ago, but the lack of pens that they got in numbers was very weird to me when you look at some other teams like United who get 10. And I don't think that, you know, a golden boot from Kuhn this year would surprise one person in the world.
No.
So I think Kuhn will come into teams once he's back, probably game week 2. I expect him to start that game. He loves playing against the Potato Heads. So, yeah, I think Kuhn should definitely be in thoughts. You know, yeah. I think you should be thinking about him for sure. But, yeah. But that could also be a wild card one where we're like, all right, like Kuhn and – like, because their fixtures after the first three is like, all right. So and it gets to the like home Brighton at Norwich, like home Watford at Everton, home Wolves. Like it's just like all these teams you just look at and you're like, they're going to score goals. So maybe you just go both. I don't know.
Yeah. Kuhn is a great pick and weirdly under-owned and under-talked about. What I was going to say is, according to this website, United got 12 penalties last season.
Whatever. Kuhn has 20% ownership right now. Just saying.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. But City only got too high because City only got four pens.
Yeah, it's crazy. And if 20% is too high. You should not own him in your game week one team. He's not going to play. He's not going to start the game week one. Like, if Sané's not fit, Jesus is going to play. I mean, Kuhn didn't get a minute off the bench. Like, I mean, that's right? Or is that crazy?
No, I expect Kuhn to not play. I mean, he could, obviously, but probably won't play game week one, so it's silly.
If he was ahead of Jesus for the game week one, he would have came off the bench, right? To play 70 or whatever?
I think so. I don't think he was on the bench.
See, I don't even know. This is this problem with City. We're talking about this shit. I don't even know.
Alex right, Chester Bester. Wait, how long are we right now? Okay, we could finish the questions. Alex Chester Bester on Slack. Is Lacazette viable Arsenal coverage for game week 1 and 2? Easy transfer to Vards in game week 3. He's a little injured, though.
Yeah, the last part of the question is the one that sticks out. Is he's a little bit injured. I think Lacazette's like reasonably priced and will be reasonable value. Again, it's hard to know what's going to happen when they put Pepe on that team because they were already like the third best attack in the league last year, and Pepe is a real player.
Yeah.
So they could just be going fucking absolute insanity, like running all over the place and just scoring a lot of goals this year. So I like the Laka shout, but the injury is putting me off a little bit there, I must say.
Yeah. Definitely. And also, it's always hard with the in-between premium mid-price guys when his strike partner, Aubameyang, is like just a nailed-on, incredible pick who doesn't really get rotated and is a better captaincy. So it's hard to fit in Laka. But I do like the pick and really rate the player. And I think I agree with you that like their front three from left to right of Obs, Laka, Pepe, like should be fucking really good. So yeah, I'm in on that.
The one thing I've noticed though with Laka, like I've been playing around, is that it gets to be Laka versus KDB sort of, because same price, right. You know, it's just your formation. Right. Unless if it would put you into like a one striker, but
and KDB but, expect over a season to definitely outscore him.
Yeah, like Laka's like ceiling is like KDB's floor to me, sort of.
Yeah,
so
I mean
that's a tough one.
It's tough with we talked about this one on the premium pod, I think. But like, what's Laka's upside? And my answer was minutes. Like, if he just plays, that's the front three all season, and he plays 3,100 minutes, and Emery settles into a side, then like that's his upside. We haven't seen that yet, and that's where he could get like 20 goals and double digit assists, and you know, and.
He's like the best value striker in the game.
Yeah, he could actually do that. But
yeah, he could.
Trigger happy on Slack. Triple Bournemouth, given their fixtures and value, yay or nay? Disgusting.
I mean, I'm fucking disgusted by that, but we're bad. So other
the main problem with it is, to me, is just game weeks 3 and 4, where you just I mean, especially 3-City, where you just don't want any Bournemouth players. But, I mean, Triple assumes that you have King, who I think is garbage. But Wilson and Fraze, like, I don't hate Wilson and Fraze. That's probably fine.
Yeah, I also don't hate that. I think they're just good, safe picks. Exactly. You know, the team's going to be good. I mean, you know, it's whatever. He's, you know, what?
Yeah, they're good.
Bournemouth, dude. Fuck Bournemouth.
All right, there's 7 more questions. Let's fucking speed dial this shit. Matt on Slack, lots of talk of early wild cards. How many game weeks would you want to leave it before you think you've got a solid enough base of stats / eye tests to make long-term decisions on players, particularly the soupy / value options?
Like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that we haven't talked about with early wild card, and you kind of mentioned it when you were talking about like defenders and clean sheets, and 5 at the back is when you mention it, is like, I think you would construct your team differently with much more of an eye on long-term players, like, you know, like your Cavs and stuff that neither of us have in right now. And, you know, so there would be less like soupy-ish guys in there just to begin with. TGC on Slack, is Vardy and Perez too much?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I was on Vardy all preseason until basically yesterday when I finally took him out and spread the money out a little more. I love Vardy this season.
Yeah, I also think Vardy's a really solid pick. I think they're both solid picks. I think what it really came down to with me with Vardy is, like, he's in that awkward price bracket where he kind of prevents you from getting another premium, and then there are options below him that allows such a significant upgrade elsewhere that it's tough to put him in at 9, I've been finding. And he does also honestly compete with that Lacazette. I mean, he's a little injured, but, you know, I'm not sure who's better there, honestly.
Yeah,
but that's pretty much it. But no, if you feel good with him and you like Leicester, I think that he's a totally, and you like the rest of your team, I think he's totally fine. Like, if you're happy captaining Mo, like, the first 5 game weeks, like, you know, you don't need another premium play. You know, you could put Raz and Vards and that could be like your 3, and you can have a fine 11, you know? So,
totally. Yep. Give me your balls to the wall punt. You know, your pod partner will hate, but you love.
Oh my goodness.
That's kind of a funny question. You just
immediately went to like the team drop down and clicked on Aston Villa. I know you did.
I'm so like probably
I'll
like,
let you I'll let you go first.
Yeah, just Graylish or McGinn, I guess, probably, right? Yeah, like you would hate those picks.
I fucking hate them. Absolutely hate them.
Yeah, or like a Norwich guy also you would hate. Just basically any promoted player not named Callum Robinson, I think you would just shit on me for owning.
That's accurate. I don't like you love the, like, I don't know if there are players I love that you don't love. That is just that question. Am I too loving? You're a lover, not a hater.
That's true.
You just have so much love to give.
Yeah,
to
be, so, this would all be so easy if you just had like Josh King.
Yeah. But I hate him, so we both hate him.
Who else do you? Who else is? I'm trying to think of someone I hate that you might own. I mean, I don't like the KWP pick. I don't hate him. He's a little fucking baby kid. How could I hate a little shit? But I don't like the pick, and so maybe that's it. I don't know.
All right.
Okay, 2 more questions. TJC again. I listened again to the postseason pod. If you're going to be more conscious this season, what are your top 2 to 3 bullet points for you that you'll remind yourself of every week?
If I'm going to be like opposed to being like unconscious, I don't understand.
Because part of the thing I guess we talked about in the postseason was like taking notes or whatever. Like you and I remember referencing the you in general pod about like how he writes on a post-it note or some shit like the movie's gonna make on Monday, and then on Friday he like revisits the post-it note.
Oh, I'm not gonna do that at all. I think I'm just gonna talk to people. I'm not gonna talk to like people besides you, like individually for advice. I'm just not gonna do that. Like if it's chat on Slack, like I put my team. No, like Davey Boy is like get Leno, and I'm like fuck, you know, like all we do is fuck with each other.
Yeah, so Davey like, Boy's on one shoulder, I'm on the other.
Yeah, like when I talk to people individually, like it just has me questioning and second guessing myself. So that's my one thing.
Yeah,
like but again, like chatting like more macro with like all the lads, like I'm always going to be in there doing that, like with my team or whatever. But like I'm not, you know, yeah.
What about you? Do you have anything?
I don't know what my thing is. I mean, just like heavy at the back, get City and Liverpool players. Like really, really basic, you know, basic shit to try and prevent myself from like tinkering out Raz or Salah or something. Last question, Bennett on Slack. Would you rather, one, an invite to Vardy's end of season house party, two, Eddie Howe has to give every interview under lie detector and gets abuse for every lie, or three,
what kind of abuse?
I don't know, unspecified. Or three, okay, Jack and Jonjo become a fixture in everyone's team after a blistering start until they both get suspended by their clubs for a brawl with each other over a bottle of absinthe in a nightclub on the eve of West Ham versus Newcastle FA Cup semifinal.
Obviously, the third one runs away with it.
It's so good. It's just
that's great.
There's so much color in that question.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of flavor. A lot of flavor in that question. The abuse needs to be specified. If it was bad enough, I might turn to two, because I don't want everyone to own Jonjo and Jack. I just want it to be. I want them to be our friends.
Yeah, that's true. You just want them on like your Gumars, not everyone's Gumars.
Yeah, or like us and Slack. Like I don't want the world to. They don't deserve them.
Did you ever watch Twin Peaks? You don't like it, right?
I watched like half of it, and I was just like, oh my god, the slow music's happening again, and I just couldn't keep going.
Well, at one point, Wyndham Earl puts this like electric collar around Leo, and he just like gives him an insane shock whenever Leo doesn't do exactly what he says. And I did. That's what I imagine when I hear like the lie detector abuse. Like how it just gets like fucking like, and he's just like, fuck.
Yeah, that would be a thing.
The press conferences would just be must-watch TV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Dude, the double Wilson lies and misinterpretations from the press is going to be so good this year. It's going to be so good. Can't wait.
Harry Wilson I fucking love. Not just because he's Liverpool. Just watch his goals comp. Like, they're not like the other comps. Like, his goals are fucking worldies. He's just a left foot. His left foot is just like a thunder bastard machine, so... One to watch there, maybe. But, all right, dude. And that was a fucking gigantic pod. I think we're both totally ready for game week one and are not going to tinker from now until the beginning of the season. So, anything else you want to talk about, or should I just slap some asses and get out of here?
No, I think this was a big, big effort for us. I mean, we'll have our final teams probably Thursday night late. Or Friday morning, depending on what you're up to.
Yeah, line
up. Put up on the website and with our little, you know, write ups of each player, our decisions like we do every week, and we'll, you know, obviously keep doing the lambs.
Yeah, I guess new people don't know what that is. We write lineup lamentations before the deadline of every game week where we say who we're starting, who we're captaining, what transfers we made, and just little write ups of like why and what we expect from the player, basically.
Yeah.
So ton of new signups. We're actually fucking here. The season's fucking here. So everyone's signing up and going nuts. It's kicking off. Let's slap some asses. We got Jeremy S. Montan, Andre Perez, Jokin, Alexander Wood, Val, Tomska, Alex Bester, Brad Hutchison, M. Highland, George Evans, Owen, and Pete Ford. Get the fuck in there, you dirty sons of bitches.
Do you have anything else, or this is going to be
we gotta get the fuck out of here.
All right.
Check us out at fmlfpl.com, follow on Twitter at fmlfpl, support us at patreon.com/fml, subscribe, rate, and review. Cheers!